You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cross podcast.
Okay, cool.
You want something?
Look at all the, coaches' jackets. Like, we'll try on clothes. That, so the so are we going right now?
Let's do it. Yeah.
So the emo. So the that shirt.
The Satisfuck one?
The OG shirt.
Yeah.
I call it the OG shirt.
It is the OG shirt.
I bought that at the very... No, it might have been the second APMAs.
Okay,
and then it went to Clinton, who... It went to Mitchell, and then it went to Clinton.
Yeah.
And it was worn by Austin in a photo shoot. It's funny
Like the exact same shirt?
My clothes go... I have certain pieces of clothing that have been in photo shoots with... literally three different bands.
That's so funny.
I have clothes that have been on the cover of at least two different magazines.
Yeah.
But they're just like, you've been to the office, but I don't know if you've seen the like the clothing racks or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's like, it's like eight racks now.
Yeah.
But it's like, and that's what I'm running to do a shoot for someone else after this. But so thank you guys for moving this forward. Like,
oh yeah, of course.
Early.
But it's, yeah, it's funny because I've seen that shirt. Like I was flipping through AP the other day and it was on Clinton.
Yeah. So that shirt was my shirt. And then, well, what it is like essentially, I mean, it's how we've always done it. Like even since the days of Hurley, like we just, anytime we get a hold of something and we like it, we share it with like other, cause like, it's funny because people don't really, I don't get really seated a lot. I don't think I get seated as much as anybody would think, but I mean, I miss it. I used to get seated like crazy, but
I seated you.
What's up?
I seated
you. You seated me. But and you, by the way, you seated me, and everything. What happens is like it comes in, and then I just break it down to people.
Yeah,
I put it on the rack, and then people will be like, "Oh, that's cool. What is this?" And I'll be like, "Oh," then I, it's like a really good way to be like, "Oh, it's this guy. He does this thing," and I'll show him the Instagram, and then because you know artists are really interesting. They, in this day of like the internet and everything, people don't want to wear something that they're not connected to.
Mm-hmm.
I think back in the day, people probably just put on whatever and they were like, it's cool, you know? But I think, well, I don't even know that. Cause I think when Stussy started, the first band to wear Stussy was Big Audio Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
And they were friends with Sean Stussy, who did all of their, you know, it's Mick Jones mm-hmm. from The Clash.
For sure.
And I think back then it was like that. Like people were starting brands and then people like really wore them and did that. And then I think now it's getting back to that. I think for a while bands just kind of were like, I mean, I think artists in general are just kind of like, oh, like, cause like now all these rappers wear a Miri because they know Mike and Miri or like Ruigi for Rude.
Yeah. We had like pre-internet stuff because they couldn't find it. They didn't know. We didn't know. So it was like,
but wait, so the you have basically a room full of different clothing for artists your... So I guess I was confused on that. Is that stuff that you kind of like curate?
It's fully, it's everything that like, I mean, it's funny because anything I own, pretty much anything I own is up for grabs.
Cool.
Because I just think that like, my thing is that I think that like, I just got really, really... it's a bummer to like flip through things and be like, oh, like I think... people get a stylist and then they're like, I even know stories of stylists who work with people. And they're like, oh, like I did a video, returned it to the brand. And then this, it was in another video. So it's just the worst thing to me for someone. It's got to feel fraudulent to like wear something and not own it. So those clothes, all those clothes are like, if someone, my deal is like, if someone wears it in a music video or like wears it in a photo shoot, they shouldn't own it. Because they should wear that on tour. It's like such a weird thing. Like, have you ever gone to see a band and you're like, they look like that when they're in AP or whatever magazines or whatever. And then you go see them and you're like, oh, they don't kind of don't look the same.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well that was just like
a someone did that for him.
Yeah,
it
it's
wasn't
like a photo.
Authentic.
Like you guys right now, like you guys look exactly like you look every time I've ever seen you.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, like, it's actually really funny because every time, I mean, press photos, that's such an annoying thing to say because
it's
for
you
us,
always
it's
look
just
like yourselves.
Yeah. We, so we do a press photo shoot like once or twice a year, and it takes us 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We bring three things from our closet. Yeah. We don't have a makeup artist or a hair person. Yeah. We just do.
Well, and you guys are all exactly good looking, by the way. That was a thing, like, when this thing, when Emo Night started, right, let me just tell you, when Emo Night started, I was like, I was just about to move out from New York, and it was like my top priority to, like, I don't know. I've never asked you, like, was it weird when I hit you guys up? Because I was like, yo, like, I was like, I want to meet these guys. I want to meet these kids.
No, it was the best.
Yeah, it was like,
yeah, I think it was just TJ and I met you at some coffee shop.
It was over by our first studio. Yeah, or yeah, actually, yeah, our second studio. The guys had a studio before. Like you were saying, your first office was like the size of this room.
Mm-hmm. It literally was this room. Yeah. This table that we're sitting on, everybody sat around it.
That's the same for us. But Benj and Joel had gotten a studio before our second studio that was literally like half the size of this room. That's where they kind of like did some work with like early MGK and like Rocky Fresh and like all these people. But that's like 2010, 11. And our second place was at Crossroads of the World, and we got coffee like right over there. And
you met Adobe? Did you meet them there?
I've known Tom from Adobe. So I'm from DC. Yeah. Well, I'm from the DC area. I met Tom from Adobe the first year that Adobe started. And I met him at the 930 Club where I worked. That's at the 930 Club. And it was a really long story behind it, but long story long, I graduated from college and my brothers were trying to like, they were in a band and they were trying to like make it. And I was like, I got this like business econ degree. And I had always been really like, I never wanted to be Tim Armstrong. I always wanted to be Brett from Epitaph. You know, I just wanted always to be like behind the scenes because I was like obsessed with the minutiae, you know? Mm-hmm. So I ended up working the 930 Club. I lived in DC. I like slept on couches in basements until I found a place to crash. And then I lived there and worked at the 930 Club as the guys were like doing their thing. And that's where I met Tom, who is a funny enigma of a person.
Yeah, but, he certainly is.
He's an interesting guy.
I fucking
guy.
Love that guy.
He's an interesting guy.
I did a 24-hour show with him for Christmas.
That's
me and him.
Wild, dude.
You're really like,
it's interesting because when I have to go back to when I first saw Emo Night. So I came up there's a couple times in my life that I've been around some things that are in the beginning of it. I'm like, whoa, this is like a thing, you know?
And what else?
Well, there was this thing called Misshapes that I had met this girl. She was a fit model for like Ben Sherman. I met her in like 2001.
That's an interesting thing for you to say because I see it too with like when there's like an artist coming up, you're like, oh, that's it. I think we did that with like Youngblood and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, oh fuck, that guy's it.
Yeah, you guys have that. I think it's called the diviner. Like, so I don't know if anyone's written about it or whatever, but like, you know, that like the cartoon or like the old like thing where people walk around with like a stick and they're like, I'm looking for water, you know, like whatever.
Yes.
I show my age here, whatever. But it's like, if you look up a diviner, like essentially like people believe that there's like these things and they could like find water. And it's, I think personally, like I definitely see other people and there's a small group of people in the world where you're like, I'm actually really fortunate to know a bunch of people that I kind of like, it's kind of weird because you're find yourself kind of like uninterested in like,
it's fucking hard. Yeah. It's a hard thing. Yeah. I understand that.
And it's really, really weird. At first it was really weird for me because I was like, I have so many stories where I went to convinced my friend who was a really big DJ to go to Philadelphia because I was like, there's this dude, he produced this record and he's about to go on tour with this artist and he's never going to come back again. And it was Diplo. Mm-hmm. And we went to this little bar, like, dude, the size of the room that I saw Diplo play in when we went to Philadelphia was like 100 people.
What year was that?
I want to say like, '08 or something. Yeah. Like it was really right when MIA's record was about to come out. I had dinner
which
with him.
Which MIA record?
The very first one?
Galang
or whatever.
Gangalang like, or whatever. Yeah, the fuck? That record fucking slapped.
I had dinner with her because Marvin from Nylon, who I later worked with, was like, I'm going to dinner with this artist. Like, it was going to be just him and her. And he was like, do you want to go with us? And I was like, sure. I went to like this oyster bar and it was like MIA before, you know, like she was coming the same way that I met Maddie from 1975,
sure.
Marvin. But I convinced Junior and I was like, dude, and he was like, that's funny. This club wants me to play. And he was playing with this big warehouse thing. And I went to this thing before we went early and we went and we saw this guy DJing and Spank Rock performed. And I was like,
which by the way, like they put out that one EP that there's like one EP yep. from Spank Rock yep. that I listened through to for like
yep.
2 years. You know,
it's got like Rick Rubin on it.
It's got
the Pussy on Me.
It's got fucking.
Are we allowed to say words?
Yeah, like we can say that.
Any word.
I feel weird saying the P word with the P word.
With the word. You're okay. Room,
you know what?
what's the
dude? Listen to this. Oh, so we saw them. We saw them play in this bar of like 100 people upstairs. I'll never forget it. And then we go to Junior's thing, and it's like a warehouse. And I'm in this VIP section, and Junior's playing, and then Spank Rock is there, and I go, dude, oh man, I gotta talk to you. And I start just talking to him, and he just looks at me, kind of like. I'm like dead sober, you know, I'm just like, and I'm like, man, like, oh my God. Like, and then I saw him at, Mercury Lounge again. You know, it was a weird time. I was thinking about the other day. I was thinking about something. Cause when, you guys so graciously asked me like, yo, do you want to come on this podcast? I was like, man, I could just talk for like 2 hours, but I was thinking as I was writing,
how many of these have you done?
Of what?
Like podcasts where you just get to talk.
Not a lot.
Yeah. And then you start thinking about when somebody asks you, you're like, fuck, I got all these stories.
Yeah. So I was like, man, you know, I was writing the other day and I was thinking about what you guys have done and how it's really, 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 I mean, I could talk about what you guys have done with not only the parties, the activation side of it, but what Ride or Cry, like everything you guys do individually, like it's so crazy. You guys are doing so much for the music and for just people giving people a place to go. But I was riding and I was listening to this. This is really weird, but I was riding and I was listening to My Chemical Romance and The Used Under Pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I listened to it like I have a wild OCD that I work on, but that's where the ashwagandha and the other, we'll talk about the
a great tie-in.
We'll talk about the herbs, but
I got a lot of them. I have so much to say about.
Valerian root. I'll talk about it. So, but I was listening to this song and I listened to songs like 5 and 6 times. And when I listen to certain things, I like.
Were you listening to songs 5 or 6 times in a row?
Yeah, like, no, straight. Like, I'll drive from downtown.
Like, if you're like in a song, you'll just repeat it.
Like, usually when I'm driving from downtown, because I go to downtown a lot for my new job and stuff. And I drive from downtown and it's literally like, you know, 30, 35 minutes and I just listen to one song. Like for 35 minutes.
You just pick it. You pick it before you go?
Pretty much. Yeah. So I got in the car and I was coming from downtown and I listened to that song and I was like, you know, what's crazy. I saw it performed probably 4, 5, 6 times. And every time I saw it performed, I fully fucking took it for granted. Yeah, I literally was at like Skate and Surf or wherever I was. I was at the Forum. I saw all these shows, you know, I knew the bands. I'd seen the bands from, you know, the opening, you know, act of Warped Tour kind of days. And I was listening to this, the air conditioning just shut off. I was listening to this song and I was like, man, I wish that one time I would have, I mean, I wasn't disrespectful. I love the song and I love the bands, but you know, you're standing there watching a band and you're like, and I think during that time in my life, I saw Arcade Fire I started thinking back. I saw Arcade Fire at the Mercury Lounge, like probably 150 people. Saw XX. I saw so many bands. And coming out of working at the 930 Club for a couple of years, I saw so much there that was like blue. I saw Taking Back Sunday on their first tour. Mm-hmm. Like I saw so many things. By the way, stuff that doesn't even like Dolly Parton and Soft Cell and stuff like that. But I remember seeing these bands and I was just like talking to my friends, you know, like, oh man, hey, what are you doing later on? Like, and I wish one time that I would have just closed my eyes and been like, wow.
You know, I have the opposite memory of that song because when I saw them perform it at Taste of Chaos, I think it was, I remember just being like, holy shit, this is amazing. You know?
No, I definitely thought it was amazing.
And not to say that you didn't, but I took it for granted. I fully was like, this is a moment in time that I need to remember. And but that's the only time I ever thought
it would always happen.
Yeah, like, that's the fucking thing. Weird.
That was like a magical.
It's so weird. I was talking to someone the other day. I was talking to someone about David Bowie. I was standing next to David Byrne at Bowery Ballroom. So I had seen Arcade Fire at Mercury Lounge. So every time they were coming, gonna play around, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go see them.
Yeah, I remember that one time Arcade Fire played literally, they headlined everything for like, there was like a 2-year period where it was just Arcade Fire shows
everywhere. Yeah. And so I was standing and I look over and it's David Byrne standing next to me. And I was like, oh, wow, I love Talking Heads. And he goes, I was like looking at him and he's like, yeah, I heard these guys are pretty good. And I'm like, man, they're amazing. Like, I saw them at Mercury Lounge. And then all of a sudden, these security guards come between me and David Byrne. They push us apart. And David Bowie walks by. And they take him up to the balcony of Bowery Ballroom. And so then, I'm like, don't want to move. I'm going to let David Byrne be the first one to, like, move away. Because, like, I'm like going to stand next to David Byrne as long as, like, I just want to hear what he says or whatever. I'm literally, like, not even looking at David Bowie. I'm kind of watching the show, and I was young and I didn't think for a second like, holy shit, this is like never gonna happen.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to do that. That's why what's been awesome lately is all these bands doing like reunion tour and doing full albums. Like there's fuck in November, I think this month, Saves the Day is doing Through Being Cool.
Yep.
In full.
Yep.
And I never thought I'd be able to see that.
Yeah.
Yep. I never thought that, you know, that's like something.
I think the band's really like, I think what happened though, see, and this is what, you know, when I was thinking about what, you know, because I am in this really weird position because I've done all this stuff and nobody, I don't think a lot of people like know what I, you know, whatever.
Which is great because we can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I think it's important that you're here.
Yeah, it's so, well, thanks. I think it's interesting because I've been able to live this life of just like nobody really knows, whatever.
And you like that? Cool. You like that though, right?
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because I think that, and the reason I wanted to, like, you know, the reason I'll do any, like, you guys can be like, ask me to do anything, DJ, anything. I'm just kidding. No.
We got some events coming up.
I'm kidding. But no, the thing is, I think it's crazy because the one thing I would say is like, when I see what you guys are doing, I feel like I was there. I DJ'd so much stuff and I was part of a certain time culture. And it's not, I think it's really cool. Like, it's not from that place, isn't for me anymore. My place is another place, but you guys have it and you're doing a good job with it, you know? And I think, like, I look at what you're, I'm like, I remember that, like, flying to LA to DJ a party and then getting on a plane that night and flying back to DJ, you know, the next day in New York again. And, like, all this stuff. Like,
you look back at that as a good memory?
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Do you think in those times you were aware of how cool that was?
Nope.
Exactly, yeah.
I was not even aware because
Were you stressed? Because we're fucking stressed.
I'll tell you what.
Because we're fucking stressed.
I was living in a place in the East Village that I lived for a long time. And I had a rent that I had been in a relationship and it dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the one that, like, it was like the person moved out and I was like, oh, fuck, now I have this rent. It was like, I think it was $2,600 a month. My whole bills of the month were probably $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I didn't have any money saved, you know, whatever. And at the time, all this stuff that I was doing, like, I remember flying and DJing in Big Bear for this, like, thing that Dingo and Danny had to do.
You can fly into Big Bear?
No, I flew to LA, drove up to Big Bear, DJed. All this crazy shit was going on, all these rappers and all these. It was for Grenade Games. Danny Cass and Dingo had this company called Grenade, and they did Grenade Games, kind of like X Games.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally drove down the hill. I had a friend drive me down the hill, and I literally got back on a plane and flew to New York. And it was literally, I think Dingo and Danny, they had enough to pay me whatever. But there was also, I was DJing some things and I was getting like $5,000. And then I would turn around and DJ something that, like, people were giving me like $700.
Mm-hmm.
But I just would do it. I'd DJ a wedding. I would DJ anything.
Did you work out those deals?
Yeah.
That was all you?
It was me.
And
I tried having managers. I also tried having managers, which I think at the time there wasn't DJing wasn't what it is now. It wasn't, there was no, you know, there was no DJ management companies, and people didn't really. So I tried to have a manager, and I'd be like, I'm going to DJ this thing. And they'd be like, $500, you can't do that. And I'm like, no, this is really important. I want to do it. This is like something that like, and then
so I would do, you would do basically what you thought was
100%.
Like, that's
100%.
Like we do that a lot. Like we're like, fuck, I guess like for the Warp Tour, like Atlantic City Warp Tour, yeah. Like that was like a, we're like, all right, I it's one of those things like we have to do this because we want to do this.
Yeah, because we are, you know, we want to be a part of the community and all that stuff.
And like, they, you know, they don't fucking pay us because, you know, and then we do something else where we're like, and they pay us a bunch. It's like,
I just wanted to be part of Vashti and I, my friend Vashti, who is now kind of like, she's definitely known on the internet. She was making videos at the time. She was making videos for, I think she worked for IDJ, and she made all these videos. She made like Bieber's first video. She made,
what do you
like,
mean, she directed?
She directed videos. Yeah. And she, like, you do direction work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and she, but it wasn't, when you're young and you're in your 20s, you're just kind of like, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, but like when you're young, it's funny because I talk to people and I'm like, when you were young and you were doing this, what percentage of styling or directing or whatever you're doing, what percentage actually paid you? And everyone knows, like 10% of that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I did all this stuff. I did like campaigns. I was DJing. I was doing all that. I was just doing anything. People would be like, you know how to do this. And
look, dude, it's really fucking hard. It's really fucking hard because the things that you like to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes just don't.
The hardest thing for me is two things. The outward appearance of it. Right. Because people are like, I was thinking because I was, you know, I was smoking a pack a day. I was drinking 3 Trentes or whatever would be equivalent. Like I was not eating, you know, I don't eat meat. I was eating like fish or whatever. And I was literally like 140 pounds. I was like the young, sexy version of myself. And I wasn't, and I was super stressed out. And so people would be like, come and like wear this clothes and we'll give you $500. And I would be in a magazine wearing some clothes. And I wasn't like a full on, I was in some campaigns or whatever, but you're just like, okay, bet, like give me that $500 because mm-hmm. I was literally paying my rent sometimes like the 3rd or the 5th
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, okay, I have 25 days to make $2,600.
Yeah,
you know, and you're just like, I was DJing this stuff for Red Bull and they would send me like, I can't drink Red Bull anymore, like I got, so I was drinking like literally just drinking like,
can't do
10
it.
Red Bulls
a day. I can't fucking do that,
by the way. Big love to Red Bull and any company because Red Bull was putting
money
into,
amazing.
They're putting money into the culture.
I can't do.
But so if you could go back to that time right now and give yourself some advice,
yes.
Because I think there's a beauty in that hustle of like making it work and trying to pay your rent and you know, and then when you're past that, you kind of look back on it. I look back on it in a way that is positive, you know, because it teaches you so much. Mm-hmm. But if you could go back to that time and give yourself some advice, what would it be? Because I think a lot of
people
are there.
Basically,
right now.
We're asking you.
There's a lot to do. There's a lot. Okay, so first of all, like I was saying, like I had that party with Vashti, and it was me, Vashti, and Mellow X. Mellow X was New York known, amazing guy, amazing DJ, amazing producer. Now works with people like Beyonce, but at the time he was Mellow X. He was the guy that I knew, Mellow X. He was a really good, cool kid, you know. Vashti was directing videos, and she does a party called 1992, a lot like emo night, like, you know, of a different neighborhood. And she was like, I want to do a party. Santos was like, we'll let you do a party. And we did a party, and it was like people were coming to DJ, and it was just a different scene because it wasn't like, it was like we would play like old hip hop and stuff like that, but then we played new stuff and mixed in other stuff, and nobody was. Vashti wasn't who she is now. I was not. I was just, you know, doing all this different stuff. Mello was doing what he was doing. And people would be like, I just remember people being like, why do you do that? You know, like if you, okay, so people told me like, oh, if you make $4,000 one night, then why are you doing this party that like 100 people show up to? But it grew, by the way, it grew. Like now it's in a Drake song. It's like, was with Vashti at Santos, you know, mm-hmm. We're at the Tommy Campos. Like there was a scene of people that were around that came around that were just like, it was like 75 to 100 people and you weren't doing it. There was no money. No one was making any money. You were just doing it because you were like, I was like, I was following my, you know, like cartoons when there's like a pie in the window and like Bugs Bunny like yes. floats.
Yeah.
Like I was just following the thing. And like, I remember people being like, why do you always, I was really, really like hot on certain people. I was always talking about them and they were like, what do you have to do with this person? I'd be like, man, I was going up to people. I would like track them down and find them. It was before Instagram was what it is and Twitter and stuff. And I would just be like, yo, man, I see what you're doing. It's so crazy. And people would be like, what are you talking about? And I was just like, I don't know. Like, I really love, I like saw the people, I saw the future of it, you know? And I think I would definitely listen to certain advice. People, like, there's certain financial things that I did that were like really, really just stupid. I would like, I mean, on paper, they were stupid. I would like help a band make a music video. And I would lose $1,000.
What's up, dude? Me and you.
And people would be like, are you going to manage this band? And I was like, no, like I didn't have it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then
let me ask why, like, you did that because you're like, I fucking believe in this. Like just want to make like something that you liked?
I think I really just saw people doing it. I saw people being limited by their own decisions in their mind. That sounds like really weird, but like I saw people being like, you could never, people be like, you could never do that, you need 10 people and they each cost $900 a day. And I was like, nah, bro, like what if you got like three friends that work really hard? And I think it's really and here's the other thing, so here's the thing for you guys, there's a couple things, like I wouldn't pretend to give you advice, but there, I see people doing things, and I saw like Steve Aoki and I DJed the back room of pianos to like 75 people, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I just remember doing stuff like that. Like when we met, when we went out to lunch, I was like, you're definitely going to do something. Like you're definitely like, you're, something's happening here, you know? And I called Benj and I was like, you got to meet this guy. Like he's going to be the Green Day of DJing. I said it. It was like, no, it was like there was none of it going on, and Benj was like, okay, like I'll meet him. Like Benj and Joel were the only people like that believed in, like we're all like that, like I knew what they were doing, and I was like, it's gonna happen, like, you know, whatever. But I think you need that. I think you need a couple people, you know. I think you need one person, two people to be like, yo, we can do this. And I think or just to believe in you, like, yo, you're doing the right thing. Like if one of your friends sees one of those videos that you lost $1,000 on, and they're like, "Yo, Morgan, that's just wild, bro! Like you're gonna do something, like that's the future." Then you feel, then that gives you, you're like, "Okay, all right, I'm not crazy," you know?
Yes, I mean, it's the fucking thing is it. I've been doing it for, you know, now like 5-6 years,
yep.
And sometimes we'll make some money, and then sometimes, like most of the time, we come out even,
yeah, yeah.
Because I spend all the budget on doing something that I really believe in. But it's like, then it goes like, what's the fucking point? Because I'm working so hard.
I did the research. I'll tell you what, I did the research. I did the research, man. And I think a lot of people that I look up to,
Morgan, I really, I think your phone is like vibrating every second.
I really
day.
Like he,
Slack.
I did the research. I think I saw, I like Spike Jonze a lot, you know? I like, I'm sure we have a lot
yeah.
of people that we like
yeah,
in common. Yeah, yeah. And I think, honestly, I saw what other people had done and lost money. And I was like, okay, like, because the thing about it is, like, if you wait around for someone else, if you're like, I sat in the room with so many people that are like, they're like, I want to meet you, Josh, man, I want to meet you. And I sit in a room with them and they're like, okay, look, okay, all I need is this. And I'm like, all right, well, you actually don't need me for that. Like I'll help elevate anything, but like honestly, like nobody, no, and I'm not like, I think a lot of people that I met that had come before me, you know, I'm friendly with a lot of the OGs now. I'm really, really fortunate, but I think for their class, for the generation or two ahead of us, it was really like, you got to pay your dues. Like it was when I moved to New York, I met a lot of people and was like, what the fuck? It was like people just taking advantage of young people that needed a shot. And I don't believe in that, you know, necessarily. I think that's really weird. But I saw it and I'm kind of like, okay, like I was like, man, I see hardworking people with good ideas. And all you need is to champion them and give them help wherever you can. And I think, I don't know, like, guess what? What would I say? Like, advice style stuff. I think, like, don't listen to... So you guys are partners and friends in something. I always say this analogy, like, if you and I today, if I was like, I love apples and I know how to grow apples, and you're like, I fucking love apples. Let's grow an apple orchard. Let's make apple juice. We're going to make money doing what we love. We got to talk about from the beginning, like, okay, so in 10 years or 20 years, do we want to sell this? In 10 years or 20 years, do we want to pivot and maybe do applesauce? Do we want to do other things? Because I think that's the one thing when you're young and you start companies and you start doing things, people get a little grabby about 3, 4, 5 years in. They're like, oh, what is this doing? And I want this and I want that. Like, it's good to like check yourself and be like, I wish that I would have. I think a younger version of me was doing it all for the passion and the experience. And other people that I was doing it with were just like there for the money. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely resented it. I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, I was making choices that were for like taste and for like the history. Like, yeah. I don't know if I'll ever be the subject of a documentary or a movie or something. I definitely think things I've been part of will be, and I want to be part of like shedding the light on things.
I got something to talk to you about after this.
Documentary? Yeah. I mean, that's the only kind of like entertainment that I watch, you know, is documentaries. But I think, honestly, I think that when you're young and you got people around you, and it's like, maybe someone's just doing it so that they can have a job. And for me, I wish that I would have, here's what I would have said. I would have sat myself down and been like, look, some of these people are, you know, because this is weird too. And I don't know if it's weird to say, but I was in the craziest, I look back and I was in the craziest shape of my life. I would wake up in the morning, do yoga, ride my bike for 2 hours, work on some music, play. I was DJing like 3-4 nights a week. And
in New York?
And I wasn't like a baller or a player. Mm-hmm. I had like lost a bunch of weight and I was like super like, and I wasn't like doing it for attention with girls. I wasn't doing it for free drinks because I don't drink. I was just doing it because I was just like, this is fucking an amazing that I get and pay my rent doing what I love. And some other people that I knew were doing it like a totally different thing. Like some people were doing it because they want to get laid. Some people were doing it because they want to party. And it was really weird. Like I was confused because there was no guidebook. There was no person being like, okay, let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
This person over here wants to. And I was like, it was really confusing. I was like, some of these people wanted to be famous. Like, I don't want to be famous. Like, I've seen it. I'm around it. I live. It's literally my next door neighbor. And I didn't want to. Some people are doing it. And so the younger version of me, if I'm really naked honest, I was a little resentful. I was like, what the fuck? Like, they're just doing that to be famous. Like, ugh. You know? And now I'm like, now when I meet people and I'm like, oh, this person just, I think they really, really might want fame or whatever they think that is. And I'm like, that's just a different path. And I think when you're young, I think that's what splits up quote unquote scenes. You know, like some bands want to make a certain kind of music. Other bands want to be the biggest band in that scene. Other bands, you know, it's like if somebody sat down with all of us and was like, okay, look, what do you want out of this? And it was all there, you'd be like, oh, okay, I understand. And I now when I see it, I don't resent it. You know, like I look back at that time and there was a period where I was like, I'm like, how did we get on this? Like, there was a period where I was like, wow, why didn't I just do this? Cause it was right there with me. And I was like, people even asked me, they were like, do you want to go in the studio with so-and-so and like have a single? And I was no. Cause I saw what Benjamin Joel did. And I was like, no, I was like, that's Benjamin Joel's thing. Like, they're so good at it. And like, I don't, you know, I was like, nah, I want to do this thing. And ultimately what I'm doing now is like what I always dreamed of.
What you wanted to do.
Yeah.
How long did that take? Like, what is that? Like,
I think honestly, dude, I mean, it's definitely the way that I did it. I think you could do things faster or whatever, but I'm happy with the way that I did it.
Let me ask you this. We started
Made and I was like 22. That happened. Made happened. And then I worked at Epic. And then I was a DJ. And then I worked at Rand, did the Nylon thing. And then I worked in an agency. But honestly, all of it trained me to do what I do now.
Right. Exactly. Because I feel like now all the artists that you guys work with, I mean, you do a bunch of other shit too. But I feel like everyone you guys work with is so clearly someone you guys work with, if that makes sense. Because they all have their own personality and like really good branding and pretty much like everything that Chase Atlantic and like Sleeping with Sirens and Bishop Briggs, like all the artists that you guys work with, you can see that there's so much more behind it than the music, you know, like yeah. There's so much conversation of like how this is going to look and how this is going to, you know, be public eye.
I think every decision that we make, because it's me, Ben, Joel, Joey, and our team, and like right. I think everything that we do is like essentially us looking back at 20 years.
Exactly.
It was 20 years. It was sure. I don't want to turn anybody away, but it's no, like, dude, it was definitely 20 years.
I think this is a good podcast that where people understand and respect that 20 years is like, you know, it has sometimes that's what it fucking takes.
Yeah, because yeah. A lot about it is all the experiences that you have and then, you know, putting that yep. to...
Yeah, how many fucking, like, kids that have, like, really, really rich parents have come to you and been like, make this kid famous? It's like, fucking unbelievably, well, like, it's there's just so many.
Well, that's a conversation because here's the thing that I try to tell people, and, like, young people come and work with us and, you know, they're really surprised at us working 24/7, 365.
Right.
And they're like, whoa. And we're just like, okay, so there's a reason that so many wealthy people are trying to like start record labels, or like they have some idea about some kind of tech, or they have something like, and it's like, it speaks to what you guys do, right? You've done something 100 times. You've had something go wrong maybe 30 times. maybe 20 times you've had something go. I'm not even saying like the biggest snafu.
For sure.
And you've had something go wrong, so you know how to fix it. You know how to remedy it. You know how like mm-hmm. it's like. And I think that like it's interesting because like certain things, like I tell people all the time, I'm like, there's a few things that people try to get into because it just looks like, hey, I was playing. This kid was playing in a garage. I walked by my neighbor's son. I was like, man, we did a like. It's like there's a lot more behind it. I think the thing to everything that we do and the stuff I'm doing, because I'm now with X Large and X Girl and running that stuff, everything that we're doing, it's like, so everything I do with X Large and X Girl, I learned from Made. I was like, ooh, I remember where we lost that money or we did that. Right. So it's like they're getting the expertise. I saw someone tweet something or Instagram something like, you're not paying me for the 10 minutes it took for me to do that. You're paying for the 20 years it took me to learn how to do it or whatever. It's like, I see it. Like, it's like what we're doing is like, no matter what artist it is that we're working with. And I see it with other people. Like I see artists all the time. I was riding here today, listening to one of my favorite bands we don't work with them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I really hope that we get to work with them in some capacity, because I just see how certain people do stuff. And like art, we do not depend on the financial success of our artists. We like it. It's really cool. We all know what quick, bad moves can be made or like mistakes can be made. And so the thing with like everything that we do, same thing with the clothing, like everything that I'm working on, I'm just like, ooh, and I'll take the time to explain why. And we're just trying to do, we've seen it all go. I've worked with huge corporations in the last 20 years, you know, working on their campaigns, working on video work for them. I've seen stuff go right. We're like, oh shit. Oh, that's how you do that. Okay, cool. Then I've seen stuff go wrong where I'm like, oh damn, this is definitely going to go wrong.
What's one of the biggest ones, like the biggest wrong ones where you like sticks out in your brain? You're like, that was a fuck up.
Man, let me think. Let me think. I definitely, shit. I got to think for a second. Cause
I think that like the way that, especially how I learn.
I feel bad because I know of a couple of things where I definitely don't want to expose it because there's people that I really like what they've done.
You can use a.
Well, I think that there's
a moniker. Is that the right word? Where it's not that.
I've seen stuff go wrong where it was essentially, you know, like we always say, like, I'd rather apologize and ask for permission, you know, like yeah. There's all this. And I think there's times when that's like, okay, giving away 100 Twinkies, you're definitely going to apologize about that and not ask for permission. But that's, I don't know where that analogy came from, but like if you're, yeah, if you're like putting out someone's song that they're featured on and you don't have permission, like mm-hmm. you're like, ooh,
yeah, there's a, good, there's like know? A line. There's yeah, a there's line
definitely,
there. Where
there's you definitely different things where you sure. see, you definitely see the back end of what's going on. And you're like, I think there's a handful of exist of examples where like, we've seen stuff and we're like, ooh, like it, I think what happens with a lot of stuff is like people, they care about, look, it's not success and failure look different in different lights. You know, I mean, I think you can, I think anyone could sit here and look at your business or our business and be like, oh my God, damn, you're all killing it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, if we stand back and take stock of like what we're doing, like that's, yeah, it's going good, but we're also not walking around saying that because we're like, we're worrying about a whole nother level of stuff now, you know, right. We're concerned. And I think the biggest thing, like, I'll come up with something for you, but I think some of the biggest things I've seen happen, are based in people that are get to a certain point and they're afraid to, you know, have the world see where a sore spot is. Or, I mean, I think we're really blessed with humility, with humbling situations mm-hmm. that like, it's crazy. Cause there's like a saying, it's like, if you don't stay humble, then the world would humble you, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of ego in this, yeah. in this world that we live in this part. And when you grow to a certain point, it's weird. Cause I deal with it with fucking bands and music videos all the time mm-hmm. where I'm like, this is a better idea.
Yep.
But they're like, well, I can't, I'm not gonna, I think that this is what I should do because I'll look like this. And it's frustrating. And, you know, sometimes I gotta like give in and sometimes I push, but I think that I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know.
I think it's interesting. I think that your generation, I mean, you guys are just a little bit younger than I am. I mean, I'm 42.
A little
bit younger, but I think the generation, I mean, maybe not even you guys, maybe it's the ones coming behind you guys, but I think that the new, I'm working with a lot of like 22 and 23 year old people that I like. So instead of like going the obvious route of picking someone that's closer to my age and being like this and this, like I take a lot of chances creatively, for other people because I'm very, and I just put myself as responsible for the situation. Right. So I'll get like a young photographer or a young person that makes a video and I try to help teach them through like what, you know, what we're doing. And I'm not trying to take credit or anything for what's being made, but I definitely try to help them, you know? And, I think, I try to help them understand that like, yo, like A, I think what I was doing at the time when I was talking about like DJing this thing for $5,000 and then going to DJing that thing for $750, or whatever that looks like, I was really kind of also sometimes resentful of the whole thing. Like I didn't enjoy it for a minute. I really wish I would have enjoyed DJing. I didn't enjoy it. The whole thing. I didn't like being in front of people. I'm very uncomfortable.
I struggle with that a lot too, because I just like doing behind the scenes stuff, mm-hmm. but, and we started Emo Night just as a fun thing. Where like, this will be a business.
Yeah.
So inevitably it threw us into the spotlight,
yep.
which I hate much.
I don't enjoy it at
That's
all.
That's why I kept my hair long for fucking five years. Like, yeah. I didn't want people seeing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot behind that, but I think I didn't enjoy any of it. I was, even at the time when I was like, I was looking at photos the other day. Cause I was like, man, I'm like back in the gym and trying to like, I had a kid and I'm trying to get back to like, out of a dad bod and into whatever I was before. And I was like, man, it's so weird. I didn't even think I looked cool or whatever. I felt the same way I do now, mm-hmm. whatever. And I didn't even enjoy that. And I think when I was riding, when I would wake up in the morning and do yoga and ride my bike, it was literally because I was just like trying not to lose my mind because I was really worried for the future. And I think that's the thing I really want. Like the reason I keep working with younger people and I'm trying to like you know, they text me, like, I do a gig or two with someone, and then they start texting me about their personal stuff, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm here for it. Some people, I don't know if they would be that way, but I'm invested in the people that I want to help. And I think that, like, that's the one thing that with people that I'm like, man, like, because they're like, I was going to do this thing, and I was going to do this thing, and then I lost this money, and then they did that, and I'm like, dude, like, just, this is going to be an awesome video, like, don't, because you can resent it, you can, like, resent the whole situation, and you're like, you don't look, I look back now, like, I have a website, I don't even look at all this stuff that I've done that I've completely forgotten, because mm-hmm. it was just a paycheck, mm-hmm. and my skill set was there, and it's, I look back, and I'm like, it's fucking clean, it's dope, but it's like, I didn't enjoy it, and now I'm like, man, I'm really trying to, I'm doing a photo shoot after this, and I'm
gonna try and fucking enjoy it.
Is it one of our artists? Well, I'm working with Ashley. Trying to work with all these people that I like. I love Ashley. We have a bunch of friends in common.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to like do that, and I hit people up, and I'm like really transparent about how much money we have to work with, and I'm gonna do this so that we can get them more or do that. Like, and it's like, I think honestly with creative, it's a real mind. It's a mind screw, because if you guys are two painters and you're friends and you started on a scene and you're painting and all of a sudden one day you're out somewhere and someone is like, you call you Babs or Barbara. Someone's yeah, like, hey, I want to see your painting. And the next thing you know, 6 months later, all of your paintings are selling for $10,000. Mm-hmm. And Morgan and TJ are over here and they're like your friends and your crew. It can make a bunch of weird stuff happen. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I've seen like enough people get success that like I don't want anybody else's story. I just don't. I don't want anybody else's story. I don't want anybody else's money. I don't want their partner. You know, I don't want their like car. Like, I think it's like, I think to me that's like the answer. And I think the next generation that's coming behind it, I see with a lot of people, they're like, they're actually getting it a lot earlier than we did.
That's, yeah. I want to actually talk about what you're talking about with creative direction, because Babs and I were walking out of a meeting the other day, and I used to be like creative. I didn't think that, I thought creative director was like a fake job title gave in LA. And just recently I started meeting people where I'm like, oh, that's a real, real job and a really important job if you're good at it.
Yep.
And like what you were saying was like this 20 years of experience, like some kid can't just walk in. He may have like, she may have like some, a really good talent in one specific thing, but not know how to handle a ton of experience. They don't have a ton of experience.
Yeah.
And just recently I was like talking to him, I was like, you know, who's a creative director? Like, Josh. I was like, mm-hmm. Josh is creative director. Like, and that's a real job title because you know who to, it's not what you're doing, but it's how you do it and who you pick to do it and why you do it. That makes it what it is. And that's a fucking, it's not an easy job.
It's like, a weird job. It's definitely a weird job. Thank you for thinking of me in that light. B, I think a big thing that people don't take, that people take for granted. Like I know a lot of amazing creative people of all ages. And I think there's elements of my new experience with creative direction. Cause now I'm doing it for people that are coming in and they're like, okay, they're like, draw out the next 5 years of my life and what the direction is. Creative direction isn't just like even creative things. For me, it's like it goes all the way back to my marketing background and understanding economics and the way consumer behavior is going to be for the next 5 years, looking at socio-political patterns, you know, like all this stuff. And I think that, for me, now there's a whole nother element of it is like when you're dealing with like a person in their team, like it worked. Now I'm working with like a whole, I work with a whole corporation in Japan, and like, it's not that there's a lot of, so when I was younger, I would get shook. I did some stuff with, Timberland. Love Timberland, dope company. Amazing. They got some great initiatives, but I was like, I was on these emails casting. Cause I was like, we should use these models and this is the look and this is everything. And I think this had to be like 12, 14 years ago. Probably I'd say 12 years ago. And like, they were like questioning it and I was shook and I was frustrated. And I was like, God damn, like, can't you see, like, this is why, da, 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 da. And we ended up using these people and it turned out dope. But it was like, then I learned like, hey man, like people are spending money. They're going to be a little shook sometimes.
Yeah. You know, and like, let me ask you this. Is there ever any time where you doubt yourself? Like, you know, like, there's sometimes for me especially where I'm like, in the hit, I know this is right.
Yeah.
But I got everybody else telling me it's wrong.
Yeah.
So like it's, and then we do it and it's fucking great. But there's like that weird in between time where like, I'm like, I don't know if I'm good at this. I don't know if this is the right thing to do. Like I, you know, like, but in my gut I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got everybody else being like, I don't know, man. Like,
I think it actually, man, and again, I'm like so late to the, I think I'm so late, but I think it actually just about 2 years ago. And it wasn't even, I mean, it's been, Benji and Joel have always been super cheerleaders of everything I do. And they're like, yeah, man, you showed us all this stuff that I've done, or like things that I've done. They're like super cheerleaders of my, what I do. But I think honestly, there was a girl, there was a woman that I worked with at Nylon, and like Marvin, who ran Nylon and who owned Nylon, was living out here between here and New York. And this girl, Ashley and I were, she was like heading up, you know, Nylon, and I was doing Nylon Guys, and we were working together really on all of it. I sought a lot of advice from her. She had worked at like, I think Elle or Harper's or something like that. I don't know. She'd done a bunch. She was like legit. She was like a legit like fashion writer. She, one day I was like, I wasn't crying, but I was literally like losing my mind on something. And she was like, dude, your skill set is like so varied, and it's so like, it's so interesting. She's like, one day you're going to realize. And because I was doing all this stuff, and I was just like doing it, all this extra stuff for free, because I was just wanting things to be done right. And, you know, and I think it's why it's interesting, because like you and I like a lot of the same stuff. I think, not to say we don't, you know,
I feel like you guys we're are very, yeah, akin, you guys are very,
but
similar.
I think it's like when you see someone and they're doing everything right, you're like, yo, I love that. Even if I never work with it, even if I never consume it, I just love that that's being done right in the world, you know? And it's like, it's interesting, because it's like, there's certain people in this world that do things, and I'm like, yo, that they're doing it right. I just want to help it, because that's what I want to see more of in the world, and not hucksters, you know? And I think, I don't know, I somewhere between maybe five years ago, I think when I started writing strategy for big brands, after I left Nylon, I was like, I had done all this stuff at Nylon, and I was like, I went to Nylon and I was like, I really think that it would be cool if there was a way to like put things in the magazine before they exploded. And I know that you have to have things that already are there. So I was like, at the same time that I was meeting G-Eazy, who no one had talked to at the time I met, I was talking to Joe Jonas, and I was like, bringing Marvin. I'm like, yo, Joe, he's really cool. We should do this with him and Gerald. And I was bringing in all these different things, like Turnstile and stuff mm-hmm. like that, you know? I was like, yo, my friend started this band called Turnstile. Like, we should put them in the magazine. And it was interesting because I was like, yo, like if I can get people in the magazine here, that's dope. But if I go to write strategy for someone, I could get them paid. So I can get them involved in campaigns. I can get them 10 grand, I can mm-hmm. get them 30 grand, whatever. So I went to write strategy, and it was really crazy. I think this is one of the moments. Like I did this strategy for Heineken, and you go into this isn't violating an NDA, I don't think, but it's like you go into this room to pitch. So, and you're with other agencies.
Oh,
you're like, oh, it's like so crazy. It's like, weird. So imagine, insane. So imagine if you three, right. So imagine if someone is like, yo, we're looking at a new, we want to do this summer festival. And they're like, we got a couple of people that are coming to me. And imagine if you're like, okay, this is what we do. And you're sitting at the top floor of a, I should have maybe not said Heineken. I should have said, but by the way, but I think it's fine. Because A, we won. B, Heineken was great to work with. And I did so much with them that I don't even drink. And I like did so much with them. It's like that, that's for me, that's always my argument. Like if you don't consume a product and you can make this thing that is going to, that everyone's going to love, then that's great for the product, you know?
Yeah.
But I think I was in that room. And this is like millions of dollars, you know, these ideas. And these are like multiple year active. Like, mm-hmm. these are going to happen for the next 3 years.
Sure.
I was talking to someone about it yesterday. Like, it's crazy because now people are like, we want to buy we want to buy into something, and it's going to be 3 to 5 years, you know? And it's like, I'm doing something for, in Miami for Art Basel. It's going to be like a multiple year thing. And, it's cool because companies, they're like, okay, what does it look like year two, year three, you know? But I remember sitting in that meeting, and I remember I have weird thoughts. I'm definitely, I'm sitting there looking at all these executives and I'm like, that person probably makes $1 million a year. That person definitely makes $750. That person makes this. All these agencies are here. And I'm like, this is a really expensive meeting. Mm-hmm. This meeting is really expensive. Like, not only are we pitching this multi-million dollar thing, but these people that are here, and these people are here for a reason. And it was interesting because I had always been like SLC punks, like, fuck the corporations and everything. I'm going to get at it from the inside. And I was like, I'm truly sitting here. I'm on the inside mm-hmm. of this thing now. And these people actually aren't evil. They're, you know, everybody there was nice. They were just concerned about they have the concern. They're responsible for their company.
Right.
And so you're sitting there and you get this very sobering view of like, oh, wow. If we do, it's like this Facebook thing that's going on right now. I don't know if you guys are pro or con Facebook. I'm very anti Facebook. Whatever, we all have to work on it.
Yeah.
But this thing that's going on about like the number of views being this and that. Yep. And it's like the thing that when I read the article, these articles about it, they're like, companies are upset because they fired whole arms of their company and hired people to make content for Facebook. And it's like, it's crazy because like, that's the world that we're living in. It's like, people are like, oh, this is the new thing and it works and it makes kids buy your stuff. And then people just shift and do that. And you're out here, I wouldn't say fighting, but you're out here trying to like be like, no, like we really connect with the community. Like we actually have the best interest at heart for the community. And I think that's like where I'm at now. I see younger people, you know, I love Logan Rice. I don't know if you know Logan, Ashley, like all these different people, but I'm trying to like, if there's anything, I don't even know if it'd be advice, but I just try to give them an insight to like, yo, honestly, there's corporations that there's a company right now that I love. I love the product. I love the initiative. And I would just do anything just to do it. Cause I'm like, I just think it's so dope and it's going to win. I just want to be part of it, you know? And I think, I don't know, like for anybody who's still listening after all that, I think, honestly, like, I don't know if it's advice. I think it's more like, just like insight to like, now I get to sit with OGs, the people that created the brands that we grew up with and that people that like have done crazy huge things, just ginormous things. And I'm like, yo, what was it like when you did this? And they like tell you straight up. And it's a little less like, who I get starstruck by is like odd, you know, it's not like but it's like people that I've seen combat and do like Anton Corbin, you know, like there's people that I see that I'm like, fuck, like that person lived in the jungle for 10 years to make something happen, mm-hmm. you know? And like that, I think all too often we're it's not going to look like success all the way. Yeah, there you go. That's the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. All right. That, I guess that's
it. If there's anything, I just said that out of nowhere, but like, that's the one, that's the, I say a lot of shit. Benjamin Joel and I are different because Benjamin Joel just say like three things and mm-hmm. they're all really smart.
Yeah.
I just say a lot of stuff and I'm like, wait, there that's it the is. Smart yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the smart thing I think is like the takeaway for anybody is like, it's not going to look like success all the way because look at, we can go all day long with people who we sort of know their story. Like this is why I watched an REM documentary. You've got to watch it. It's amazing. You're like, REM, they're like an impenetrable band of, they're like a, you know, a monolith of they're like an icon of music, you mm-hmm. know, it's like honestly, if you watch their thing, you're like, oh shit, like they were literally just like dodging failure and like making success happen. And I think, you know, I was gonna say, you know, I met Sunny the first time I met Skrillex, first time I met Skrillex was on a bus. It was probably had to be like 2002, 2003, whatever, I don't know. And my brothers were doing press. Their band was at the top of its thing. And he was like outside and he was talking to my brother and Ben just like, dude, this kid's really nice. Just chill with him. We got to go do some press and just chill. Like he hangs out, you know, and go on the bus and eat some food and stuff like that. And Ben just like, he's traveling around with his band, like in a van. And, I don't remember anything we talked about. I don't remember very much. I just remember being like, my brother being like, yo, hang out with that kid. He's a nice kid, you know? And I just remember this kid talking really fast. And it's like interesting because I remember somebody in the beginning of Twitter, somebody tweeted me like, do you like Skrillex? And I looked it up and he was on tour. He couldn't get tour support. So he went on tour to like play his band's music or whatever, or like some kind of version of it on like a Plea for Peace tour or something like that in the UK. Mm-hmm. And like, I look at people like that and I'm like, yo, like not every part of that dude's story looked like success. A lot of it looked like failure. Right. A lot of it looked like what the fuck are you doing? But it doesn't matter because he did it his own way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's how you respond to failure that matters.
So I think it was interesting because I was thinking the other night about Emo Night, and I was like, man, when are they just gonna move to like a 1,000-cap room? When are they just gonna like so every motherfucker can get in? And it's like it's interesting because if you look at everyone's business, you could look at anyone's business and be like, oh man, it looks like this or it looks like that. But nobody knows
you give me one venue in LA that would work.
I think you're in it. I think I literally look, this is what I do. While I'm driving around listening to the same song 8 times, I literally this band Honey. I love this band Honey.
I like Honey.
I love Honey.
Yeah, I like Honey.
There's one song that they're, I don't know if they're, if, I don't know if they have announced that they're shooting a video for it, but they just shot a video for it. And I saw the video. I saw the first cut of the video because I know
you know those guys?
Yeah, I've known them a long time.
Joey's in that band. When I first, I played in a band with Joey when, like.
That's my favorite band. I don't know. I'll tell you what, you could literally be like, I have tickets tonight to see The Strokes, The Cure, Green Day, or you can go see Honey at the bootleg, and I go see Honey.
Wow.
Love them so much.
That's the way I feel about I feel about Pup.
It's the way I feel about The Strokes.
Yeah, I love The Strokes. I've seen The Strokes a bunch, and I absolutely love them. But I you know, we work with Nick, who's in the band CRX, and I love The Strokes, but I'm just saying, like, I've seen all of the bands that I love, and I've met all the people, and like that band is a band that I like. I'm wildly excited about. I'll tell you what. What's an artist or a song you've been listening to lately that I wouldn't expect that you listen to?
Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm real big. I'm writing like a bunch. I'm writing something for myself.
Yeah.
That's, you know, sort of big. It's in the 50s. So yeah. I listen to a lot of like doo-wop shit.
The Platters and stuff like that.
Like all of it.
Some Hawaiian tunes.
Yeah. Like I listen to a lot of because we do this all the time. Like, you know, this is our genre. This is our life. Mm-hmm. So like anything I can do to get out of it.
Yeah.
Like I like that.
Yeah.
I'm the same.
What about you? What's
I mean,
Babs likes everything.
Yeah.
Babs is like,
they always make fun of me that they're like, oh, it's a song. Babs will like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I honestly, and this, I used to hate when people said, oh, I like all kinds of music, but I literally I love pop EDM a lot.
Yeah.
Like I love the Chainsmokers.
Yeah.
I love Zedd, you know, like, so sometimes I'll listen to that, but it just totally depends on the day.
I'm a huge, not as much as Benj, but I'm a huge industrial fan, like goth industrial.
Yeah.
Benj is like, I think way bigger. Like I like the top, you know, all the,
like the Nine Inch Nails,
B&B Nation,
yeah,
like all the Metropolis record stuff. Benj, I think Benj has always been way more into it, but have you guys heard, there's this song that when I was in New York a couple weeks ago, someone put me onto. There's not even really much of a vocal on it, but it put me onto this artist. And it's really funny, but like, do you guys listen to Kim Petras?
Yes. Yeah, I love Kim Petras.
Dude. So I just discovered it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's playing at the Shrine.
So I just discovered it like 2 weeks ago. Okay. And I was like, yo, there's a song called Demon. There's a track called Demon.
Yeah.
I listened to Demons literally for like 3 days.
Yeah, dude.
Straight up, I listened to Demons.
Go see her at the Shrine.
Her song with Lil Aaron has been stuck in my head.
I've known Lil Aaron for a long time.
Yeah.
And his music is fun. But then I was like, oh, damn, Lil Aaron's doing a bit with Kim Petras.
He did that a long time ago. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's interesting.
He's got it too, where he sees shit and he's like, I got to do that with that person.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. It's interesting. I think, man, there's certain things. And then there's another band, The World Is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die.
Yeah.
So there's stuff that when I was into, like, DJ when I got into DJ stuff, like, in 2003 and 2004, I went to Winter Music Conference, which is now Ultra. So I saw like Justice, like in a small place. Mm-hmm. Like I was just always like following, like, oh man, like this is gonna be cool, you know, like this kind of thing. And it's funny because when I left, there was a bunch of bands that happened that I have no I know nothing about. Like, right. I could not even tell you what a Senses of Fail song sounds like.
Yeah.
Probably dope. Probably dope. Like, they're big, but they're probably dope, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like, sometimes I come across things like the world. So I found a hoodie the other day in a thrift store, mm-hmm. old, in The World's a Beautiful Place. And I'm like, oh, damn, that's a band, right? And I looked it up and I was listening to it in my car and I was like, yo, this is kind of, this slaps, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, totally. This is good. It's funny because it's hard to have your hands on everything. You know, I listened to K-Rock for a day the other day just because I was like, what's on K-Rock
now? What's up here? Yeah.
It's interesting because they still play the acoustic version of Everlong, which is not a bad thing. It's awesome.
It's literally like the one of the
Sublime.
Greatest songs.
So, dude, so K-Rock plays Sublime.
Yeah.
Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
The Everlong thing.
Mm-hmm.
No Doubt.
Mm-hmm.
They play like, it's literally like a time capsule. And it's like, it's why I have hope for, if there's kids out there that are listening to K-Rock, then I think we're headed in a really good direction. Like, you know, like.
What do you think that's going to get switched to an oldies station?
K-Rock?
Yeah.
I don't think it is, because they play a lot of.
When do you think that, like, those songs are going to start? Like, those songs are going to start going on the old. I think about that all the time, because they play, well, like, Beatles on oldies stations.
I mean, you know, like, whatever, it's 25 years for a car to be vintage or something like that. Like, when is it for a song to be vintage?
Yeah, like, yeah. When does that happen? Because I'm like, because then I'm like, because, you know, I think about, like, when I have kids and the oldies station comes on and it fucking smells like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
You know? And they're like, oh, this is an oldie
song. I'll tell you what, man, having a kid is interesting because they are, I don't know, man. I think I honestly think loving that music the way that we love it is indicative of a time and a place that we were. And I don't know if, I think kids will love it, but I don't know if, I think that music was made in a, that music was made, like,
whoa, I just completely
shattered this thing. Sorry. No, but, like, is there a food that your mom cooks that you're like, yo, I love that. But if you went to a restaurant and you smelled it, it might not have the same effect.
Yeah.
So that's music to me. I don't know if I can expect that somebody like will look at certain bands the way I do because they didn't have it. It's a different feeling. It's a different era. No, these are very expensive. Just kidding. No, but I think it's interesting. Like, my daughter likes water parks. And I think that it's because what they're making music that's like for today.
Right.
You know?
Right.
My daughter absolutely loves it. And like,
well,
it's like,
dude, I think we are in a very, like, I think that we're not too far apart in age wise, yeah. Where I think that, like,
I always think of you guys as so much younger, by the way.
No, I'm
You're
not.
So handsome and beautiful. All of you, the three of you.
Wait, how old are, like, you?
42.
Okay. So yeah. You're 10 years old.
I look at you guys and I'm like 24,
yeah.
26.
Well, that's great.
That is great. No, trust me. Just recently, I've started looking at myself and being like, I look older.
No.
Like,
we got to talk about this. So do any of you guys take collagen?
No.
So I'm there. Okay. I'm taking collagen.
Okay.
What
is that?
Collagen is like for your cells. It like,
you eat it?
Yeah, it's a pill. Mm-hmm. It's a
but
vitamin.
It's definitely not vegan.
Is it? No.
Mm-mm.
No. Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Just look at what you're taking. Just spin it around.
I mean, I'm not
Maybe
vegan.
It is.
I'm pescatarian.
Yeah, just check it out. And
but chill. So collagen, as long as it's like not sucked out of babies or something. But valerian root.
I take that.
This is a great. Okay, so this is a great.
Yeah.
Like wrap circling up, back.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know you have to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is something I ask every guest.
Yeah. Every guest, you ask them about their vitamin routine.
Pretty well. It's a larger picture question, but mm-hmm. it's basically like, what do you do to take care of yourself?
Yeah.
In obviously a world where it's not only do you have your job, but you're also like a dad,
yeah, yeah.
and then also now we have social media on top
yeah.
of everything else. So, yeah. what are some things that you do to kind of like?
It's crazy because I don't drink or do drugs or anything like that anymore, and it's been a while, and I thought that I was taking really good care of myself by doing
just
that.
By doing that, yeah.
And it was really bad because I was sleeping 4.5 to 5 hours. Well, really 4.5 hours a night, 4 to 4.5 hours a night for like 5 years. And I started having all these problems that I was like, I don't drink, I don't do drugs. Da, 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 da. And I was like, and you know, I work out a little bit, you know, I'm not crazy with it, but I went to an Eastern medicine person and they were like, it was like, my body wasn't getting enough oxygen, and I started taking these all these root supplements that basically make your blood makes more red blood cells, mm-hmm. which carry oxygen around your body. And I definitely, dude, it's really crazy because let me say this too. A lot of the kids that I'm around, it's crazy. Like if you sat in a science class and they told you how our heart works and how we breathe, it's like a miracle, right? It's crazy. Like people can stop breathing and their heart can stop working, and we take it for granted because we don't, you know. And I'm not like a warrior for like good or whatever, but I'm just saying, like, I really looked at it and they were like, you have to learn. I couldn't sleep more than I was waking up after 5 hours of sleep. Now I'm, you know, I'm taking things like try to sleep a little bit longer.
What are you taking? Because that's been my problem for
I can't take too much melatonin.
Yeah,
because I wake up and I don't drink caffeine either.
My God.
So it's been a year off caffeine. It's been 2 years off of sodas. You know, I drink Zevia, but not any other soda. And I mean, again, I'm not demonizing any of this shit. Like, people drink a rum and coke and I'm like, that's cool. You're living life. But I just was like, everything I've ever done my whole life has been like to the max. You know, I'm taking, these roots that I got from the Eastern medicine people that I looked at it and it's largely valerian root and ashwagandha.
That's nice. That's what I kind of take.
So there's an ashwagandha tea that I got that, like, so the other thing is I need to chill out, but I don't want to fall asleep because I don't want to say I'm intense, but I'm definitely like a high, you know, I like what I'm, you know,
sure,
I
like, you like your, up, yeah, you know? Yeah.
And that was a weird thing about like any uppers and stuff that I would do is like, you don't really need that. But I think like that being clear, and I don't mean it, I just mean like having clarity. And I think a lot of stuff, like for me, I can say this, I wouldn't try to give anybody any kind of advice for like, oh, you need to work out more, or you need to do this. Like, I would say like, you got to do what brings you clarity.
Right.
Like if that's, you know, I've run into you at Runyon, while ago, but like, mm-hmm. like if you like, I try to do stuff that brings me clarity, because there's certain things that I did in my past life that didn't, you know, in the past when I was younger, I would steal shit, nothing crazy, you know. If I was at your house and there was a party and I didn't really know you, I might like grab a CD, you know, sure. like I might just borrow stuff, you know.
We have a
like,
theme with like, guests in here, pretty puked to death. Too.
People stealing, like I would yeah. like if there was like a literally my roommate, I lived with this roommate, it was years ago, this is decades ago. I lived with a roommate that had a bowl of change, and I never had a bowl of change, I still don't, you know. And I would just be like, just grab like 8 quarters out of here, you know, like sure. whatever.
There's a bowl of change type people.
But I definitely felt super guilty about that.
Okay.
It's like mad weird. I mean, I, you know,
you
maybe
nine,
it's like
you a nine step there.
But I definitely, yes, definitely. but I definitely, of course. But the thing is, like, I think the thing that I would tell anybody who's young is like, find a way to have some clarity. Like, I think the roots and all that stuff are good. I think drinking water is all that good. I definitely wouldn't rob anybody of like, look, the years that I spent doing the wild shit that I did, I mean, would I go back and do anything different? I don't think.
It's all experience.
The only thing, sure. there's like a saying is like, regret, you only regret the things that you could change. Like, you don't regret something that you couldn't change.
Right.
If someone like, you know, hit you with a baseball bat and broke your arm, like, you don't regret that because you didn't do that, you know? Mm. But if you were climbing on a rock and you jumped off and broke your foot, then you probably regret climbing. So it's like, look, the only regret that I really have at this point, at this old age of 42. No, but the only regret that I have is that I definitely, there were times when I was confused and young and like resented certain things. And I was like, you know, why did this happen? Or why did that person? And I'm like, that's the only thing I would say to anybody is like, yo, like get to the bottom of that. Get to the bottom of like wherever that is and like find the reason that you really resent something and like repair that in yourself, because like you can be like, it's getting in the way, especially for creative people. By the way, if you work in a bank, if you work in a garage and work on like all this stuff that we do, is all just a fucking life path. Mm-hmm. So it's like Emo Night and Brighter Cry is a life path for you guys. It's just a part of like what you're going to do. And it's exciting for me because of the way you guys do it. And I think that like, you know, I think that for this next generation coming up, I think the only thing we can do is teach. Or kind of, not even teach, can't teach people, encourage them to like really examine all this shit and get any, like, get any of the resentments or any bullshit out of the way, and then you're fucking clear to, like, fucking create and be happy about it, you know?
Totally.
And the results, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, the expectation. I think that's the thing, like, with making music videos and stuff. I did it. I found a girl that, like, dude, I met so many kids. I'm talking 15 years before they got signed. Like, and was like, oh man, like, trying to make music videos, trying to, like, I don't even think there was, people are like, are you, who's your manager? Josh, your manager? I'm like, nah, like, I'm not really managing because I don't, you know, there's nothing to manage.
What was that fucking talking in there, Ben? Like, I found that kid. Did you see him when he came in? He's like fucking 7 feet tall. Yeah, same deal. Like, found him. Now he works with there's like all these bands that need things and I can't do it. And I'm like, yo, you should really work with this kid. He's really good. And now he's off doing his own thing. Yeah. I think we're like fucking plus second fiddle to him. Like, you know, you give a shit about
I think that's, for me, that's the beauty of, like, our whole thing with starting a company was, like, we wanted to foster, like, we're tired of, like, helping people and then throwing them back into the world, like, because then people come back like 6 months later and they're like, I did this thing and I think I made a mistake. You're like, oh man, like, let's fix this, you know? It's like, instead of doing that, like, let's have some, there's this thing for me, like, I have a mentor, I have a couple, and I think I am a mentor to a couple people.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if you can be a mentor and have a mentor, it's a great place to be because you're in the middle, you know? Do you have a mentor? Who would you say is your mentor? Like, don't say their name, but can you picture them?
Yes.
Is it your dad? Is it what? No. I mean, is it just a person that you know?
I think it's multiple people.
Word.
Yeah.
So would you say that you have a mentor? It's like, interesting because it's like that for me, the people that, like, I'll never be greater than certain people that I really look up to. And I don't want to. I mean, look at them like that. And then there's people that I want to be a mentor to. And I'm like, I want to take care of them. But when you're in the middle, you feel taken care of. You're enough to be a leader, but you're also, like, enough to be, like, looked after, you know? And totally. It's like, I don't know. I think it like fixes a lot of the creative thing's really weird, man. It's so weird when you're creating stuff and, like, creating it from ideas in thin air, because you're like, you want some kind of thing to feel like I'm, like you said, like, I'm doing the right thing. I'm, you know, success. No one's ever going to understand your version of success, you know? But I think like you guys are doing great. I see what you guys are doing and I'm like, yo, that's successful in my eyes, man. You're killing it. Like, I want to be part of it. I want to fucking be around it. I want to cheer it on. I want to help it however I can. Like, I think that's...
Well, that's how we feel about you guys. Thanks. Like, I mean, obviously, thanks. You don't need anyone to after you. No, but dude, that's everyone you guys work with and, like, everything you do, I'm always like, fuck yeah. That's
everyone sick. Everyone that I'm around, that I've been around and been around for a long time now, there's people that, like... You know, I would love to shout out. I don't know if it's kosher to, like, shout. But there's definitely people that, like, call me up and they're like, yo, do you know this guy? I met him the other night. You should really meet him. Mm-hmm. We put you guys on an email. And then it becomes something. And, like, I'm like, man, I really owe you. Like, I owe you something. I just want to make sure that however I leave this place, everybody feels, like, paid back. You know, I don't want to leave any debt. However I leave this place, I want everybody to be like, yo, like, that dude gave me something. And that's really, for me, that'll be success. For me, it'll be, like, everybody's like, I always like, whenever I'm thinking about dying, I'm like,
pretty fucking good version of success in my
ass. Yeah, yeah. Whenever I think about dying, I'm like, yo, everybody just wear a t-shirt that I gave you. Like, that would be so sick. I want to see a movie of that, you know? Like, but I think, you know, it's cool. And I'm stoked to be here. Like, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, how many episodes
have you guys done?
Probably like, 50?
Well, we started changing it up a little bit.
Yeah, so we did it, you know, a couple of years ago, and it was more like if an artist had an album coming out, you know, or someone had something specific. And then a couple months ago, I wanted to kind of find what I like again, because I kind of got lost in doing so many things, and I just felt like I don't even know what inspires me anymore. So I wanted to get back to just having conversations with people in the community or people that are like-minded.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, sit down and actually chat with people again and have, like, a face-to-face kind of thing.
Less promo,
like, more less like
talking about, because, like, to be real, like, there were some bands we brought in here that we were like, I don't really know.
Yeah, it was just publicists hitting us up and being like,
and it wasn't like, you know, I wouldn't say it wasn't not authentic, but it wasn't like stuff that we would normally do. Like, when we talked to them real, like, for real. but it wasn't like
it wasn't necessarily what we wanted, you know.
So now we're bringing in people that we find interesting, that we look up to, that we want to fucking find out a little bit more, that we, you know. So, you know, Babs brings in like photographers she likes a lot.
Yeah, Ashley just did it too.
Yeah, like I'm gonna bring in, like I'm gonna talk to Ryder Rips, bring him in.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just people that I see doing awesome stuff that, you know, I want to sit down with and be like,
yeah,
how'd you get here, what, you know, and yeah, have the listeners understand more of, you know, what comes with doing all the things that make someone successful or whatever, you know, that
the term. Most interesting people to me right now, like I said, that kid Logan, like people that are just like forward facing, like he's like, I do this Lucky campaign for Lucky Jean. He's like, I got to shoot this thing for Lucky. I'm like, oh, dope. Like, I think it's great to do commercial stuff. And I think it's also great when he's doing stuff where he's like, you know, it's like fully an art thing. You know, he goes to New York with no return ticket. And amazing. I'll be like, and he'll be gone for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh yeah, I picked up some stuff while I was there. And it's like, to me, I'm like, I told him the other day, I was like, man, I really hope you're enjoying this, because I didn't the way I should. Mm-hmm. I was like, just looking at I was also like running from the devil. I was also like, had no backup plan, there was no plan B. There was no couch to go sleep on. There was no, like, it was just like me, myself, and I. We were all kind of in that position.
Sometimes good though, to not have a plan B.
Nowhere to go but fucking get it done. Exactly. You know? So, anyways, well,
thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hell yeah.
My plan B is working at Albertsons.
Okay.
I want to.
I mean, I work the food line.
So. I want to. All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
You.
All right.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food, so come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.